Well, roughly once a month, the church has a great feast in honor of Mary. And one of my my concerns is that the Marian feast can be seen as a little bit, twee or sentimental. And really, just the opposite is the case. A really good example is the feast of the Queenship of Mary. And I know when you hear that phrase, you think, oh yeah, my grandmother would like the feast of the Queenship of Mary. But actually, it's a very strong statement being made. And I'll give you the best biblical example of why we speak of the Queenship of Mary, where this feast is coming from. It's in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we know this scene well, but listen. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So you're dealing with a coronated figure. You're dealing with a queen, right? Now, but what's happening is this queen mother, is pregnant, and she brings forth a child. And immediately a war breaks out because a dragon in this vision is there to devour the child. And the child is swept away to safety, but then this great war breaks out among the angels. So the queenship of Mary is not sentimental. It's associated right away with a great cosmic struggle, a battle between good and evil. This birth being brought about through God's grace, which will save the world, but only after a terrible struggle. And now, right before this scene, and you know, the chapter headings come much later. So in the original text of this, they weren't divided in chapters. Right before that, here's what you find. The visionary is seeing visions, right? And the temple of God in heaven was open, and there was seen the ark of his covenant in the temple. And there came flashes of lightning and peals of thunder and an earthquake and great hail. You say, well, okay, the vision of the ark in the temple, why is that important? Remember the ark, which bore the remnants of the Ten Commandments. The ark was brought into Jerusalem by King David, who does a great festive dance in its presence. It then becomes the focal point of the temple. In the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. It was the sign of God's presence among his people. Well, around the time of the Babylonian captivity, the Ark was lost. Hence the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, right? It's based on that idea of the Ark being lost. Where did it go? But the Ark was taken away. So there was a very deep sadness at the heart of Israel because their central sign of God's presence among them was gone. And so for a Jew of the first century, to hear of a vision of the temple restored so that the ark is now within, that was a sign of God saving his people, God coming again among his people. Now, there's no way that that image of the ark in the temple and the image of the woman clothed in the sun are unrelated. They're right next to each other. And here's the relationship. Who's the queen mother? Who's Mary? She is, in the fullest possible sense, the Ark of the Covenant, because she bears within her own body the living presence of God. She is, if you want, the temple. She is the place now where God has come to dwell. Right away, she's involved in a fight. Well, go back to the Old Testament. Before the Ark was ensconced in the temple, Israel would carry it around into battle. Or think of the story of Jericho, right, when the walls come tumbling down. They walked around the city 7 times bearing the ark. They brought the ark into battle with them because it was God's presence opposing the powers of the world. Same points being made about Mary, that Mary is not some twee little sentimental figure, just the contrary. She's the queen mother involved in a cosmic struggle. She's the Ark of the Covenant. Here's a lovely detail. You know, when the pregnant Mary comes to visit her pregnant cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaps in her womb, right? Well, what is that but his version of David's dance before the Ark of the Covenant? So all those associations are meant to show us it's time to get involved in the struggle on the right side. Anyone acquainted with St. Ignatius and the spiritual exercises knows the meditation of the two standards. When Ignatius asks us to imagine this great battlefield, And there's Satan's army, and then there's Christ's army. There's one great decision we have to make. Which army are you in? Every other decision will follow from that one. For whom are you fighting? Because, see, Satan in a million ways will try to lure you into his army. And it means you're going to walk the way of hatred and violence and egotism and cruelty. And that's the decision you got to make. Am I in that army or am I in Christ's army? Am I going to walk, am I going to fight the good battle of love and compassion and nonviolence? Every other decision you make is predicated upon that fundamental decision. And so I would say this feast of the Queenship of Mary can sound sort of sentimental. It's anything but. It's about which army are you going to fight in? Are you going to join in the great battle with the Queen of Heaven, with the Ark of the Covenant, or will you be on the enemy side? That's the question raised by this feast.